So, before physicists appropriated the name, quantum used to mean how much? Quanto in Spanish or in Italian. We're asking the question, how much integrity does the image that you're looking at or the video that you're looking at have? And we're a Swiss-based company that detects deepfake manipulations, among other things. But before I get to deepfake, maybe we should get to the history of image manipulation. This is one of the earliest examples I could find. It dates back to Stalinist Russia, where Stalin had a wonderful habit of airbrushing out people he didn't like. It's a great book, The Commissar Vanishes. If you can find it, buy it. So it's not new. This has been going on ever since photography has existed. People have been using images to manipulate populations for propaganda purposes and to change facts, basically. Before deepfakes, we had basically three types of classical manipulations to images. They were called attacks. One is copy move, second one is splicing, and a third is in painting. Lately, and since we're in Hollywood, I have to mention CGI, which is computer generated. We'll get to that a bit later. So what would happen with classical software to detect this type of manipulation is that you could have a forgery detection system that would detect one of these three 100%, but 0% on the other ones. And what would happen is you just have to tweak the attack very slightly and the algorithms could no longer detect them or even flag them. So we have a solution to that. I'll get to that a bit later. Let me get to what it looks like. This is actually something from one of our clients. It's a copy move attack in forgery, where we took an image that was given to us by a bank, a stock take, and their client had simply copied and moved the stock from one part to another to pretend that the value of their goods was higher so that the bank would continue financing them at the rates they were. This is a classical example. Okay. Here's another very famous splicing example that was used recently to pretend that Carrie and Fonda were friends. They never were. It was just two images that were spliced together and sent out. This is another form of attack that exists before deepfakes. And the third one is in painting, traditionally used to remove something from an image. I might make a bad joke now about what's happening in England, but some people might have wanted themselves removed from certain pictures that came out a few weeks ago. Anyway, that's in painting. Okay. CGI. CGI is very close to what deepfakes are. I will get to the difference a bit later. But CGI is this computer-generated imaging, something happening all the time in Hollywood. The issue with CGI is it's usually human being-driven. It's not a computer or an AI that's behind it. You have to have somebody behind the desk, much like Photoshop, that has to direct and construct the CGI imagery. You know better than I do, I'm sure, in Hollywood. Okay. So what's a deepfake? A deepfake is an AI-based technology used to produce or alter video so that it presents something that didn't, in fact, occur. The term was coined by somebody on Reddit called deepfake since December 27. And most of the uses of deepfake have been to swap faces, and I might be a bit rude today as there are ladies in the room, but for the most part, most of the deepfake attacks today are in the porn industry and in porn sites. Look at this. Deepfakes are made using GAN networks, generative adversarial neural networks. And for those of you who are not in computer science, I'm going to play a short movie to give you an idea of what it is.
This episode is supported by SimpliSafe. Which of these three faces do you think is the oldest? A, B, or C? The answer is actually none of them, because none of these people were ever born. These faces were all generated by artificial intelligence. Now, thinking about artificial intelligence, look carefully at these two paintings. Which of these does your mind think is created by AI? Is it painting A or painting B? Give up? The clue is in the signature. The AI seems a bit busted on this one, but someone loved it as it went at an auction for $432,500. To explain how these images are generated, let's first look at these images of fruit. By now you know that one isn't real, but is it the apples or the oranges? If you said apples, you're right. Essentially, a system is fed hundreds of images to learn from. It's then split into two systems. System 1's job is to create a convincing image of an apple, and System 2 is designed to figure out which images of apples are fake. This is known as a generative adversarial network. If System 1 fails at tricking, it continues to evolve its apple designing skills, and if System 2 fails at identifying the fake, it must also improve its ability to catch a fake. This ultimately creates a feedback loop that generates extremely believable images. Now, let's try to relax and listen to some music while you try to deduce which is composed by a computer. Turns out that composition A is generated by a machine learning system called Emily Howell, which was created in the 90s and learns from a library of music to create original pieces. And composition B, that's by Johann Sebastian Bach. A larger library of music will give the machine learning networks more data to learn from, and the same is true for video. Because we upload such huge amounts of video content online, neural networks have begun to create convincing fake videos. Here's a video of the 44th President of the United States, Barack Obama.
People not trapped by our past, but able to remake ourselves as we choose. But today, our immigration system is broken, and everybody knows it.
And here's another.
It's been less than a week since the deadliest mass shooting in American history. And foremost in all of our minds has been the loss and the grief felt by the people of Orlando.
Which of these two are real, video A or B? Known as a deep fake video, video B is generated using AI. With over 14 hours of footage from the president's weekly addresses, neural network AI is able to model the shape of Obama's mouth and uses audio from one of Obama's previous addresses. But can AI generate convincing synthetic audio? Listen to this phone call.
How can I help you?
Hello?
Hello, what's up, man?
Hey, I wanted to know what are your hours for today?
10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m.
Okay, got it. Thank you for your time.
No problem, sir. Bye.
Can you tell which of the callers is human? Voice B, the voice you hear asking about the hours the business was open, was fake. We're relying more and more on technology today, which is making our lives easier. Much like SimpliSafe, the sleek new home security system.
So, we started looking at this about 3 years ago when deepfakes weren't on the horizon. We were basically looking to ensure integrity for business and economic reasons. It turns out that things have moved fast. Technology does move exponentially fast. If you haven't read The Singularity from Kurzweil, read it. Age of the spiritual machine, age of the thinking machine. And it has now become a threat to political, personal, even societal integrity. There was a case in Pakistan where somebody deepfaked somebody saying something bad about the prophet. I won't even mention his name, and people died. So at the last speech we had Microsoft in Switzerland speaking at, they think we have a 7 to 10 second gap now to detect if something has been deepfaked before it can cause damage on a social network or in the news. Whether this will happen or not remains to be seen, but the issue is there. Okay. Per day, 20 billion to 30 billion images are being uploaded. Social media networks are not considered traditional media, so they're not responsible for what's on their sites. I know for a fact that Europe is looking at legislating. They do want us to flag all of the stuff that goes up. So at the very least, we can tell you if something has been deepfaked or not. What's going to happen in the States is my best guess, but the technology is dangerous and it's there. Okay. Cutting-edge deepfake is what was used, for example, in Gemini Man, I think more recently in The Irishman, to either synthetically age or to make them look younger, Joe Pesci, Will Smith. But what's the reality behind this? For the moment, deepfakes are expensive to make. I think that the cost of making Will Smith look younger cost twice his salary. It needed 500 people working on it. A deepfake basically puts the burden away from the human being and pushes it towards the AI. We're not quite there yet, but it's coming. Within a year or two, we will have machines and algorithms that can make deepfakes of an entire movie or of a scene of a president saying anything he wants. Okay. And again, this is advancing exponentially, so we're looking for ways to combat this in Switzerland. We actually have it. What do we do? the way to fight an AI algorithm is with an AI algorithm. And we've been thinking for a long time, but I see one patent attorney here and another one should be here. I have to be very careful here. The issue for us was to have a forgery creator. There's only about 20,000 deepfake videos out there today. That's not enough to train a proper machine learning or a deep learning machine. So 1 year of research went to creating a deep learning forgery creator that then trains our forgery detector. And we now have machines that can, on a case-by-case basis, be trained for specific types of manipulation, and we can detect deepfake. We're actually one of the first in the world to be able to do that in Switzerland. Okay. Now, we're here to talk about video, but we originally started looking at the impact in more traditional business. Legal services, finance, invoice management, warranty management, insurance. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when you have an artificial intelligence like the one that you saw there that can do something much more simple than make the president say what you want to say, invent a receipt, invent an accident scene, invent a picture of a car that was in an accident that was never there, or just manipulate something that existed? It's going to be very difficult to tell what was true from what was manipulated in the future. And again, that's what we're working on. Here are the sectors we were working on before video came up. In the insurance industry, we have a lot of cases, especially in Southern Europe, where cars are damaged in accidents and people make deals with the garages. They Photoshop extra damage onto the doors and get more money from the insurance. Warranty management, we didn't know this. It's 3% of turnover of a major company we're working with. 10% of it is fraud. People simply change the deal. They'll take a picture of a real computer in a store and they will either alter the invoice or the warranty to match another piece of paper to claim money. In banking, KYC, you will soon be able to change the pictures behind identity documents, keeping all of the watermarks intact, so that the software that you currently use at airports won't be able to tell that the face has been changed, for example. So working on that. Legal services, we haven't even started looking at, but I'm sure that it's enormous. And in human resources, I think in LA you can either pay $5 million for your kid to go to Harvard or you can just Photoshop the diploma. I don't know which is easier. Okay, so our challenges really are how to work with limited data, because the data is not there yet. How to make a universal detector that can adapt to use cases without significant changes in architecture. How to keep pace with this deepfake development. And the last thought I really want to leave you with, and I've been thinking about this since I landed yesterday in the States, is how to counter the confirmation bias people have. Eric, I think today, was talking about Kahneman and Tversky, who won the Nobel Prize. Thinking Fast, Thinking Slow is the book, if you want to buy it. Very good. Confirmation bias basically means people go online to see content that convinces them of what they already believe. So does it matter if you flag something as deepfaked, if that's what they want to believe and that's what they're looking for? And I was going to leave the rest of the time open for questions, because it's a big question. Sorry, it's a big issue, and I'm sure there are a few of them.
I thought, well, we have some questions over here. That's great. Let's come on out here. I feel like that was frighteningly scary, wasn't it? I was scared.
Who are you? My name is Nia Samir, and I'm from Universal Music Group. That was scary. And I think we are all in shock, and that's why we're so quiet. Yeah, I want to understand, how are you combating it? Because if I understand right, your organization is doing something to combat this deep fake. And how are you doing it, and how far are you?
The only way to combat deep fake is with artificial intelligence. So I'm a business person, I'm not from the tech world. Somebody came to me with this idea 3 years ago. I thought, of course, and everybody told me I was crazy, stupid, no use. So I went to a university that's next to us, EPFL, one of the best in the world. And by chance, the chairman of JPEG happens to sit there. He's probably the number one man in visual imaging in the world, in visual forensics. And for some reason, he agreed to work with us. And he is building our deep fake detector now. How he's doing it, I can't tell you. But I can tell you it's fully funded by the Swiss government and by the EU, and it works. So we've been looking at this for 2 years now, how to do it. And I really can't get into the details, only to say that you have to use deep learning to combat deep learning. And there's a way to do it. And that's what we're doing. Go ahead.
I,
Oh, that's not my job is to build the tool. You know, people told me, what's the application of this? 3 years ago, I would say, you know, once we have the tool, we will find the application. I went backwards to this. I said, you know, it's a no-brainer that within 3 to 4 years, at the speed technology is evolving, we will need this tool. So how we will use it, I still can't tell you exactly. We have our first 3 pilots. They came from the sky. We weren't expecting them. We didn't know where it would come from. The fact that Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft don't have a solution, frankly, knocked me off my feet, because for 3 years, that's all I could think about, what will happen when, not if, when, and they don't, we do. So social media, my opinion, this has nothing to do with my business. In the States, they'll get through either a congressional hearing or they'll be sued, one or the other. In Europe, it's going to be legislated. We know that. Now, is it going to be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? What's going to happen is the EU will put out a sign saying you have to do your level best to at least pretend to do something about a deepfake and flag it. There are actually laws in France and Israel, for example, that if you have photoshopped images in advertising, you have to say it's photoshopped. So that's how I see it progressing. Did I answer your question, or?
So without obviously getting into details, approximately how many use cases have you guys solved for at this point?
But what do you mean by that?
Well, I was going through your slides. You talked about trying to scale your use cases up, right? Okay. So how many are you at now?
Right now we have 3, and video is the lowest hanging fruit. It's actually the easiest to do. Yeah, but we're looking for more. And by the way, if anybody has use cases in this room, that's what I'm really interested in. We want use cases, because the more use cases we feed into the AI, the more powerful the tool we have.
Anthony, what does this mean for the media companies that are sitting in the room?
That's a very big question. And what do I think?
Yeah, what does it mean for us right here?
You want philosophy now? Pick up Kurzweil, read The Age of the Spiritual Machine or The Age of the Thinking Machine. I'm sure most of you know what he talks about when he talks about the singularity. You know, singularity in space is a place where laws of physics break down, time and space. It's like avoiding Tuesday to say you're going to avoid it. And what's probably going to happen is there is a point in time within the next 50, 100,000 years, we don't know where machines will be smarter than we are, not in specific AI, but in general AI. And we don't know what's going to happen after that. You know, that's what Musk is talking about when he says he's afraid of AI. And that's where the world is going. Now, will it happen? I don't know. Will it happen this century? I can't tell you. But with digital image manipulation, it's going very fast. It's going very, very, very fast. You will soon have Photoshop-like software that could probably at least make a 30-second or 40-second short for you with no skills. Make Obama say whatever you want. We're invading Korea. The missiles are launched. So it is very scary. It is very scary.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of celebrities who don't want, this is a Photoshopped image seen in movies or in print ads. Yes, questions.
It just seems that won't the ability to manipulate images or audio always outpace the ability to protect? And if not, is there a blockchain application? Or what's going to save it, right? What's going to save us?
Something, I actually forgot that in my speech. We're working on that too. I don't like blockchain because that's a specific form of distributed ledger, but let's talk about a DLT solution. Yes, we are working on that too, to track and trace, absolutely. 90% of the forgeries we catch today, people don't remove the metadata. They have Adobe Photoshop just in the metadata. It's a no-brainer. It's not difficult. And in our business model, forget about what happened in the last 3 months. We were really looking for the people who are forging $200, $300, $400 receipts. That's shifted now. We are focusing on more important things because we've been asked to by some governments. But the forgeries we've seen so far, 90% of them are simple. People aren't sophisticated. The problem is, what will happen when the machines become sophisticated and can make a forgery that you can't keep up with? But until we get to general AI, there will still have to be some human input. There will still have to be a human being behind it trying to fool the machine in one way. Yeah, it's an arms race, but so is the antivirus market for viruses. And we're in a visual antivirus market, I would say. That's what I'd compare it to. And that's where we want to go.
Anthony, aren't Russia and China ahead of us in this? Aren't they creating a lot of the deep fakes that we're talking about in the political environment?
I would know that 10 years ago. I don't know that anymore. Are they ahead of us? Probably, because they can have enormous impact using what Eric was saying today. You know, you have a couple of students in a room. and they can create havoc in a democratic country and the electoral system. I don't think Putin is too worried about black propaganda or manipulation in Russia for his elections. Same goes for China. So yeah, minimum effort, maximum bang for the buck. Yeah, that's what I would do.
Last question.
Sure. Could a deepfake be detected at the point of upload, like uploading to a social platform through like reverse image processing?
Well, we're actually looking now at the computational loads it would take to detect them, and we're working on that now to make it very, very affordable to do. Yes, if the will is there, but social media doesn't want to do it. They will eventually have to do it once there's a problem or a lawsuit. You know, I just read, when I spoke at EBU, TechCrunch just gave me a message, you know, lawsuit in the States allowed to go ahead against Facebook, $35 billion, because they did something wrong with facial verification technology. So in the States, I think the market will drive social media towards this eventually, because something is going to happen. There's going to be an incident. There's going to be a video out there that causes havoc or a political problem. And either that, or they will have to do what happened to Microsoft. Well, what was the last trust case that was dismantled here? Was it Standard Oil, the big one? AT&T? I mean, so that's how I see it going in the States. Sorry.
Well, Anthony, thank you so much. A big round of applause for Anthony Sagan.